Glory to God. God is good. Amen. Oh, I'm so thankful that God is that God has invaded my life, that He's changed my life. Praise the Lord. You know, the change that God has done in my life. You know, some people look at God as just having changed. Some Christians look at God as having changed their life once. But praise God, how many know that God will continually operate in your life? He'll continually move you towards greater glory. And that when you have to go from a place of non-glory to a place of greater glory, or a place of lesser glory to a place of greater glory, how many know that there will be change? Amen. And so God doesn't mind changing you. In fact, He's going to do that. He's going to give us opportunity to change. And we need to just connect with God and go along with that. Amen. Because it's always blessed when He does. Praise the Lord. Well, before we get into the message, I wanted to share something that was on my heart. You know, my wife was talking about inviting people to church, and we're all at different places, you know, and this is really something good. I should probably share this everywhere that I go. Amen. But, you know, it's found in Psalm 2:8, and I just want to just bring that up to you real quick. It says here, you know, the Lord says, ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. And the word nations really is just, it means the people, amen? And the ends of the earth for your possession. Now, of course, this scripture isn't talking about, you know, just blessing us and so that we have, that we amass lots of goods and that we have everything that all the nations have. But what the heart of this scripture is reaching people. And the reason that I bring this up is because of this. You know, we many times we'll be like, you know, we may be like, well, Lord, you know, I don't know many people, or I don't see many people, or whatever. But if you pray to God in such a way, Lord, give me the nations for inheritance. Show me the people. Bring me somebody, Lord, that I can witness to that will come to church. If you start praying along those lines, if you start seeking God on those lines, what happens is God sees that you're serious about His people, about His work, and God will bring you people. Yeah. And you say, well, maybe that might just be one person once in a while, and it may be that. But you know, something that one person once in a while is worth that prayer, amen? And so that's what we need to do. We need to be people that have a heart of God, a heart for God, a heart for the things of God, and just determine in our hearts that we want what He has. So put it, make it, you know, it's just like giving. Praise the Lord. You know, God's giving it to increase. He's given us principles to increase, but we just can't do it if we don't have a heart to do it. If you don't have a heart to increase, how is God going to increase you? You'll reject the increase. And so we don't get mad at the things that God's given us to increase in any area, but we receive them with joy, amen? And, you know, it's faith. Sometimes people, you know, they don't like to hear, oh, we got to use our faith. Well, faith has been given to us so we can increase, amen? Faith has been given to us so that we can, and when I say increase, I don't just mean financially, but in all areas of our life, amen? What you're seeking from God so often is just found in your faith, amen? Well, praise the Lord. That's free, no charge, and I believe that'll help us. So let's start seeking God. Lord, bring me somebody to witness to. Bring me somebody to tell about your good news, amen? Praise the Lord. And He will be faithful to do it. Of course, you have to be faithful to act on it as well. Glory to God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And that goes for all the people that don't live in Cory too. Because, you know, here's the thing. We often run across somebody who's like, I mean, I live down in Cory. I didn't even know that. Or I live down in that area, you know. It's not just Cory, the surrounding areas, you know. And so God has good things for us, but we have to desire them. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, know that God's only going to fill you to the amount that you desire. Right. Amen. Yeah. Well, praise God. Tonight's message is called Paving a Path. Amen. And we're going to be talking about preparing for a harvest. We're going to be talking about preparing for the things that God wants to do. Amen. How many know that with everything, anything that's good, there's preparation involved in it. Amen. You know, one of the things I was thinking on as I was just coming down here this afternoon is, you know, I was thinking about Thanksgiving. Anybody love Thanksgiving? I love Thanksgiving. I love food. I love to be able to get together with family. But, you know, the one thing is that in my house, we've always been a little bit spoiled, or in my mom's house growing up, we're always a little bit spoiled because we never had to do anything. We just showed up to the table and ate. Amen. That's all. All we had to do was come there. Amen. Actually, there was a lot of people that were connected to us over the years that got blessed just because they were connected to us, and they didn't have to do anything to get there either. They just showed up to the table and ate. Praise the Lord. They have a good meal. It was always guaranteed that you'd find something in there that you like. And even when I met my wife and she didn't eat the same exact way that we did, my mom altered things and made it so that she could enjoy that same meal. Praise the Lord. And we're so thankful for that. But how many know that with anything great, there's preparation that's involved in it? You know, this work is a work that's being prepared. I know the Lord spoke that to me quite a while ago now. He spoke to me about preparing for harvest. And the work here is really, it's a work that's being prepared for the harvest, amen. But all of the work that we do is really preparing for something greater. You know, we're preparing God's kingdom to be a glorious church. We're preparing God's kingdom to be ready for his return. We're preparing God's people to be able to receive him, to go to heaven. We're preparing people that come out of the world to receive a life-changing God, amen. And so we know that there's preparation. Now, not everybody that rejoices at the dinner has to do the preparation, but somebody does. Somebody has to be faithful. And of course, I believe that we are those people. And we need to look at our lives no matter where we're at. Maybe we're not called to the ministry. That doesn't matter so much as that we are called, that we know what we're called to. Amen. And if we're connected to a local body of believers, then God has things that he wants to do through us. He has things that he wants to do in us. Amen. And that's just that's part of that preparation. But, you know, also there's another side to preparation that is God is preparing things through you, he'll be preparing things in you. Amen. And so as he has you do the mundane things, amen. Sometimes the things, you know, as you are, you know, picking up a piece of lint off the floor, the church floor, you're cutting the grass, or you're doing whatever you do for the Lord, amen. God will be preparing you for greater things, amen. And that preparation is precious and it's important, amen. How many know that, you know, we can have a Thanksgiving type meal just by going to the frozen food section, going to the opening the freezer, paying $10 or something like that, putting all the stuff together, bringing it home, stick it in the microwave. You can have turkey. You can have gravy. Shoot, you can even have pie, right? But how many know that it's not near as good as the one that was prepared? Not near as good as the one that was time spent and that there was sweat spent on it. You know, I know every Thanksgiving, my mom is the most, it looks like the most tired person. You know, she doesn't, I'm not saying she, but you know, she's the one that's tired. Everybody else is sitting around, you know, or she's the only one that has right to be tired anyways. Everybody else is sitting around after they ate bloated, you know, thinking, we were so full and we've done so much here. Praise the Lord. But it was the one who prepared it, you know. There's work involved in that, but it's not a bad thing to have work involved, amen. Glory to God. And so we as people, we have to, as God's people, have to understand that God is preparing things in us. Where he has us today is not where he's going to have us tomorrow. And if you're a Christian that stays in the same place always and just never progresses in faith, never grows in the faith, then it's not really saying much about your faith. It's not saying much about how you've connected to the Lord. And we have to understand this, that the amount that God grows us really has to do with who we are, what we decide to do. As little to do with what he has a plan for us, but that plan for all of us is much greater than what we even realize. And so if we just move with God, we'll see all that. Amen. Yeah. And so we have to understand that God is paving a path for us, and he's using us to help pave a path for others. Amen. Praise God. Even sometimes people use it to pave a path for him, and we're going to see that today in scripture. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to John 14:2. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I hate when we have to, you know, last week we had to cancel service, and I hate when we have to do that. And I don't do it even so much for me as I do it for the other people if it's on my heart, it's more for the other people that travel down, because, you know, we have people traveling such long distances and stuff, and you don't want to put them at risk. And so there's a wisdom, you know, so you say, well, we go with the Lord. Yeah, we go with the Lord, but there's wisdom in that as well. You know, there was times where Jesus was told to go here and go, times where he was told to go there. Paul was told to go here and go there, and he followed the Lord, because sometimes you need to just, you need to stay on the safe side of things. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it feels like it's been forever since we've been here. Praise the Lord. But it hasn't, and we're back again. Amen. John 14:2, of course, where we've always been here in spirit. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. I love that, you know, that Jesus tells us in my Father's house, he's, you know, that there's many places. There's nobody that's going to be left out. Amen. But he tells us something really important here. He tells us that he goes to prepare a place for us. That word prepare, it means to make ready, of course, to prepare, to make the necessary preparations to get everything ready. Drawn from the Oriental custom of sending on before kings on their journeys, persons to level the roads and make them passable. I like that. So in the Orient, they had, in the ancient Orient, they had this custom of when a king was going to go down a path, that he was going to send people out ahead of to get the big rocks out of the way, amen, to smooth out the ruts and to make sure that the road was passable, that there's no trees laying down in the middle of the road. I think that's so wonderful that God, and of course that's the illustration that Jesus is using here. But he's telling us about, you know, I go to prepare a place for you. God is preparing a place for us to get to. You know, those mansions, of course, we're not going to get there. We're not going to get there soon, right now. But there's a space and time between now and then. But I love that idea of the Lord going out before us and making sure that path between now and that mansion, praise the Lord, because that's the destination, right? Our destination is ultimately heaven. Yeah. Glory to God. That's why the Bible says that, you know, when somebody passes, that we don't sorrow as those who sorrow, we don't sorrow as those who have no hope, because we have a hope that there's just another destination. And that destination isn't a bad thing. It's a good thing. God's got a place for us, waiting for us. And I'm so thankful that he's doing that. But this idea of Jesus going before and sending angels to go before us and preparing that path between here and there, that's what really stood out to me. He goes, I go prepare. Prepare a place for you, amen? And so we know this, that if God's preparing a place for us, his intent is that we would get there, right? His intent is that we would arrive at that place. And so just like these people of ancient days, that they would go out and they would prepare the path, God has also prepared the path for us to walk out what he has for us, amen? Because there's many steps to take between now and heaven, amen? Glory to God. It came to me this way, and I wrote this down, that the plan is passable. I like that. The plan of God is passable. The plan of God is possible. The key is finding the plan that he has already authored for us. And this is where kind of where a disconnect can come sometimes in our lives, because we set out life. You know, I watch. Of course, I was a young buck at one time too, and I watch these young kids. You know, as they're progressing from childhood into adulthood, and they have the world by the horns. You know, they're just going to run out there and they're just going to go after it. They're going to take off and they're going to do everything that they can possibly do. You know, and it's a lot of times where a lot of younger people make foolish mistakes, like, you know, jumping out of airplanes that still are up in the air and stuff like that, or, you know, different things like that. You know, we were with our pastor this week some, and we were talking with him, and we saw these guys that had strapped this, it looked like a giant box fan that they strapped to their back, and they had a parachute, and they went running, and they took off and went up in the air, you know. And I asked the pastor, Tim, I said, Pastor, I was like, would you ever do that? And he said, you know, at one time I probably would have, but now they have a family, I wouldn't do that to them, you know, because, well, you don't take risks like that anymore. But, you know, with a young kid, they wouldn't even necessarily think about that, you know. Glory to God. I don't know what got me on that. What got me on that? Praise the Lord. Well, but the idea that people, you know, you're younger, you just take off after things and don't necessarily think about it. Oh, I know what I was saying. But, you know, God has a plan for us, and we can miss that very easily if we just run after our own ideas or what looks good to us. If we're just like, oh, that excites me. You know, there's lots of things that, I'll just be honest with you, there's lots of things, you know, since I've been serving God that have come to me not exactly the way that I wanted them to come. Things that I desired, and maybe it didn't present itself to me exactly the way that I seen it. You know, maybe it didn't present itself exactly the way that I wanted it. Amen. But I realized that it was a blessing to me. And see, that's the key, is that not always being so demanding on what we want specifically, but being putting a demand on the things that God has for us. You know, of course, we can look to Scripture, the things in Scripture, and say, well, yeah, if the Scripture says this is mine, it belongs to me. But with all other things, we need to keep them before the Lord and say, Lord, we want what you have for us. I think this is a very important thing. The plan is passable. In other words, the road that God has laid out for us, it's wholly passable. The path God has for us to walk down, that it's probable that we'll get down that road. In fact, that if we decide to go down that road, we'll go down that road in the blessing of the Lord, and we'll go down that road in light and easy. How many want light and easy? Amen. But how many know that light and easy isn't found in your own plan and your own ideas and the way that you think that things work? Light and easy is only discovered in the things that God has for you. And so that's why we need to make it the desire of our hearts to be following that plan. Amen? Now, I could look at things and, you know, so I was just talking about some things that have come to me since I've served the Lord that didn't come to me the way that I necessarily wanted it. I could have looked at it, and I have before, looked at those things and thought, but that's not what I wanted. That's not the way that I wanted it. But what the Lord has showed me is that if I accepted it, it would be a blessing to me. In fact, it was just not too long ago that there was an opportunity offered to me to receive something that I've always wanted. And as I was, it was just a couple week and a half ago or something like that. And I wasn't spending much time on it. I just said to the one who was offering it to me, I said, you know, if it's for me, then it'll be good. And I'm sure that the provision will be there and everything. And so I just kind of put it at the back of my mind because I've learned to do that, not to dwell on it. And a few days later, I was actually right here, standing right over here, and I was praying, and I was just walking back and forth praying, and as I was praying, all of a sudden, the Lord brought that thing into my remembrance. I wasn't even thinking about it. I was actually praying about the work of the Lord, and I heard in my spirit was very interesting, as the Lord said to me, he said, that thing would bless you, but the payments on it wouldn't, and I thought, wow. And so I knew instantly that was my answer. And yeah. So I contacted that person and said, well, you know, it's not for me. Praise the Lord. And the thing is you know, like, here's the thing. When we sit there and think, yeah, like, couldn't God just provide that all for you? Well, certainly he could. But see, God does things. He works through our life through faith. It's best when God can work through our lives through faith. And so it's not a bad thing that you don't just have everything. Because you would be that spoiled brat that just had everything, that's been given everything, and appreciate nothing. But the thing is I don't fret. I believe that that'll be something in my future, maybe not that exact thing, but it'll be something in my future. But, you know, there was a lot spoken to me when he said that. There was a lot more that was spoken to me. He said, that would bless you, but the payments wouldn't. In other words, knowing that sometimes things that we think are a blessing to us, it's things that we think we want, but the road to get there isn't something that's really a blessing to us. That it's something that actually withholds from us, that keeps us back. And you think, well, you know, you were praying about the work of the Lord and then all of a sudden this thing for your personal life came up. Why would God do that? Well, you don't think your personal life affects the work of the Lord? Of course it does. Everything that we do, everything that we take on, every place that we live, every decision that we make in life can and will affect what God wants to do, and especially in our lives. If you don't want to obey God and follow God, then God will find people who will. But the point that I'm making is that we need to be people that are being prepared and allowing God to prepare us. Maybe we don't have everything just the way that we want it right now, but that doesn't matter because we serve a God who brings us to it. Amen. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe we don't see the end from the beginning. You know, one of the things is, if you want to drive, if you think about somewhere that you want to go on vacation, amen, and you want to drive there, maybe there'd be a lot of roads sometimes between here and there. But the truth of the matter is you have to go through that road to get to that place. Amen. And sometimes there'll be things on that road. You know, when we've gone on different vacations and stuff, maybe we're driving to the beach or something like that. You know, one of the things that I've learned is that sometimes not everything looks beachy on the way to the beach. Yeah. Glory to God. Sometimes you're driving down the road and it doesn't look beachy at all. Sometimes you'll be driving through snow just to get to warm. You know what I mean? But the destination, praise the Lord, is important. But the path we have to understand is what it is. Sometimes God has to take us down paths and for many reasons. Now, this is the thing that we can lose sight of. God looks at our lives as a whole. He looks at our lives in the context of all that our life contains. And so God isn't so much worried about the little details. And what I mean by that is this, that if you're going, if you have to go down a path that maybe is going to be a little bit harder, but what produces in that path is big, God will allow that. And he does it because he sees the end. He just sees you blessed at the end. And see, that's how we need to see ourselves. We need to see ourselves blessed at the end. And when I say blessed at the end, I don't mean blessed when you die. I don't mean blessed when you go to heaven. I mean blessed at the end of every single day, every single path, every single door that you walk through, every place that God leads you to. You need to see yourself blessed at the end, even if it doesn't look like it currently. And especially if it doesn't look like it currently. You know, when a farmer goes out into a field and starts planting the grain, planting the corn, they don't see the blessing manifested in front of them, do they? But they do know that they'll see the end from the beginning. When they start, they know that there'll be a harvest at the end that will be worth it. And that's why they labor for what they do. Amen? Yeah. You know, I think about this for people who grow trees and, you know, tree farms. You know, we have lots of them. I love trees. I love wood. I love woodworking and stuff like that. But one of the things that I've learned is that now, you know, even now that I'm 40, if I plant certain trees, I wouldn't be able to harvest them really in my lifetime. That I would be planting them for another generation. You know, and so that's something that I can labor for and things that I do labor for sometimes. Sometimes on my property, I plant a tree that I know I'll never see the fullness of it. And if Jesus tarries, my kids may, you know, my kids will see the fullness of it. But I know that I plant that for something else down the road. And that's not a bad thing. Now, God isn't saying that everything that we're planting is not things that we'll see in this lifetime. But we have to understand that the preparation in us, the preparation that we're being used for, is greater than even us. And that God, see what God does, and this is the truth, you know, I may not plant or harvest every tree that I plant. But there'll be trees that I will harvest in my life. You know, if you want to think about it like that. There'll be, you know, the Bible says that we enter into labors that we have or enter into reaping where we have not sown. We enter into the work of other people, the labors of other men and women. And so some of the blessing that you've already experienced in life has nothing to do with you at all, but it has to do with what others have planted and paved for you. And so that's exactly what we're doing. We need to look at our lives as that place of preparing, always preparing for something greater. Amen. Now that, again, it doesn't mean that we won't harvest. Of course, because every generation will harvest something that they didn't plant. But in every generation with God is this way. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. So the plan is passable. The plan is passable and the plan is possible. The key to finding the plan, the key is finding the plan that God has already authored. And that is, Pastor Nancy Dufresne, she spoke that over me recently. She said, you know, she was talking about the Lord, she was prophesying over me. And she said, the Lord has, there's things he has for you that will increase you. And she said, the key is not finding out not figuring it out is what she said. It's not, you don't need to go out and figure out what you got to do to increase. She said, you need to spend time and get with the Lord and just find out what he's already authored. Because he's already authored it. And that's the wonderful thing about God is you don't have to figure it all out. God has already authored a path for you. And if you will follow that path, he'll lead you into it. It's light and easy. You know, I've seen so many people so many times throughout my life contending for things and trying to get into things that don't belong to them now. You know, a lot of times, you know, you see that with kids, young people. They'll try to live life as married couples, but they do it out of, in the wrong timing. And so it doesn't become a blessing to them, but it becomes a weight to them. Sometimes it becomes something that affects them throughout their whole entire life. And so it's always best if we do things in God's order. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. And Hebrews 10:25, I wanted to bring this up. Just bring it up here. It says, not forsaking assembling ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You know, this is such an important, important scripture to us and something that so many people, they lose track of. You know, God has called us to assemble together because the plan of God will only be discovered. The plan God has for your life will only be discovered in the local church. I can't say it in another way. I can't say it in a softer way. I can't say it in a way that you're going to like more. I can just say it that way. That God has called us all to a local church, to be connected to a local church. And the reason for that is not about church. Yeah. The reason God has called us to be together is because just like my mom on Thanksgiving, she loves it when her children are all in the same place. She loves it. It blesses her when they're together. And the same thing is with God. The Bible says that you will flourish in the courts of God. Amen. That when you assemble together, that's where you're blessed. Amen. You cannot be blessed aside from the house of the Lord. Not fully. Now, God will pour out blessing as much as he can, but there is a principle that is at work that is connected. It is no different. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is no different than you needing certain vitamins and minerals in your body. There are certain things, you know, have you ever heard of somebody who's anemic? What is that? As a person who has an iron deficiency, right? A lot of times we see this happens to women who are pregnant. They'll have an iron deficiency, and what do they have to do? They have to give them supplements to get that iron into them. Why? We know that because without that, there's drastic effects that can happen. People can die for a lack of those types of things. And the same thing is with vitamin A and vitamin B and vitamin C and vitamin D. We need all these things, amen? And of course, in normal lives, we get them in our normal day-to-day feedings and stuff like that. But the house of God is no different. The congregating together is no different, and we have to see it that way. And when we see the house of the Lord that way, one of the things we're going to see is we're going to have a growth in our heart for people who don't have a local congregation, that they don't have a local body, because what we're going to do is we're going to see them. We're going to be like, they're Holy Spirit anemic. Amen. They're deficient in the Spirit. They're deficient in the Word. And so their life isn't being blessed. And that should touch the heart of a Christian. Because when we realize, when Christians truly realize the blessing that the local church is to them and their life, then they'll look at other people and they'll have a heart to bring people in. Amen. And that's all part of the preparation. Amen. That's part of the preparation. But the Bible says so much more so as you see the day approaching. As you see, as we get closer and closer to Jesus, we need to see the importance of this congregating together, amen, and coming together. Because God wants to do great things in our midst that he cannot do if we're separate. One of the things, we've seen this so many times, that people get into trial. And in any kind of trial, one of the biggest things that's almost always attacked is somebody's ability to be in the local house of God. It always is. Praise the Lord. It's just the truth. I don't say praise the Lord because of attack. I say praise the Lord of his goodness, but it's the truth for the truth. It's the truth. You know, with the local church, Satan has convinced oodles of Christians that they don't need to go to church, or that they can just church hop. They can go wherever they want to go. Well, let me ask you this. If you have a plan, okay, if you go to an architect, any architectural office, praise the Lord, and you want to build a house. Now, they have many house plans in there, many building plans in there. But how many know that if you just go to an architect's office and you take a plan, you say, okay, I'm going to take a piece of this and I'm going to start building it, and now I got to finish this, so I go over to this other architect's office and I just grab a plan out of his plan book and I bring that over and I open that up and I start building that, and then I go over to this architect and get this, and I, you know, and this state has this code and this state has this code, and I'm going to take some of theirs, and you know what I mean? And you just haphazardly try to put it all together. Are you going to have a plan? Are you going to have a structure that blesses anybody? No, absolutely not. You're going to have a structure. You may have a foundation that is big enough for a 5,000 square foot house, but shoot, you only build a 2,000 square foot house on top of it. Yeah. Well, what's that going to mean? It means you're going to start having a swimming pool in your basement. Yeah. That's what that means, because it's not covered. Yeah. You know, and maybe that 2,000 square foot house, you only put a house big enough, or a roof on it big enough for 1,000 square foot. Well, it's going to make a difference, isn't it? Amen. Or if you built out of materials, and one of the things I love about out west is they have this material called adobe, amen, and they do a lot of straw. There's this other thing called straw bale construction, and if you don't know what it is, it's real simple. They make the structure, the walls of a house, are bales of hay stacked on top of each other, and then they take this adobe, which is essentially just mud and clay and stuff like that, and they coat the walls of it with it. I love this type. I love the look of it. I love the feel of it. There's something when you're in one of these buildings, it's just a comfortable space. And even though it's hard, it just feels great. But how many know that a mud hay house don't work good in Western New York? Amen. Why? Because we have this thing called rain constantly, or snow, which turns the wet. Amen. And so that would be you'd have bales of hay until they rotted, but all the mud would be on the ground and just be a mess. Amen. In fact, some people have tried to do them in this area, and they have to build them with huge overhangs so the water doesn't get to them. But out there in the West, you know, it works good. But, you know, if you tried to bring those principles here, you wouldn't be blessed. You know, and so it's the same thing with God's people. As God's people church hop, and they just, you know, well, I'll go to this church for a little while and go to this church for a little, instead of finding out where God would have them to be, what happens is they're lost and they're scattered, and they wonder why they don't see the blessing. Listen, this isn't to condemn people. This is to help people see, you know, listen, you don't look at your doctor comes to you and says, hey, listen, you have a vitamin B deficiency. I don't know if you can have a vitamin, you can have a vitamin B deficiency, right? If you have a vitamin B deficiency, you need to take more vitamin B. You wouldn't look at him and say, why are you trying to keep me in bondage, doctor? You'd never say that, would you? Why? Because you'd be like, thank you for letting me know that. Now I don't have to die, right? Exactly. Well, this is the same thing with the Word of God. We preach the Word of God to help people. We don't come to Corey. We don't put the work into coming to another town in another place so we can hopefully get something out of you. Because there's a lot easier places to do it. I'm just going to be honest with you. There's a lot easier places to go to if you are just trying to get something out of somebody. There's a lot of things. I mean, there's places. Praise God. There's places in this nation where you could pop up a church and you could fill it overnight. Why? Because they're just more geared that way. But they're not the ones that need it. I mean, we all need it, you know what I mean? But they're not the ones who need the work to go to them to change. God plants churches where he wants change. And so you have to know this, that if you're planted in this church, God has change for you. Praise the Lord. It's probable, it's likely, and it will happen if you allow it. Glory to God. Amen. Now turn with me to Luke 3. Glory to God. Are you being blessed tonight, I hope? Getting your help? You know, I was talking to someone today. Actually, the one I was talking to, as far as I know, was an unbeliever. We were talking about a certain situation. And, you know, they said, you know, it's really all about mindset. I said, the way you look at it. I said, you're right. It's absolutely right. Yeah. Amen. You know, I was thinking, you know, I've been thinking a lot. I was thinking in conjunction with this. I was thinking about Oral Roberts. I don't know if you know who Oral Roberts was, but he was a minister, and you know, he was on TV a lot. He had a healing ministry, and of course he started Oral Roberts University out there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And one time when I was out in Tulsa, I went to the campus and explored this campus, and it was quite a beautiful campus. I was looking at it, I was very impressed with it. But one of the things that really impressed me is as I was walking around, and I like to think about things, I like to ponder what's going on, and God speaks to me that way. But as I was walking around this campus and looking at all these structures and all these things and the excellence, and I thought, one man had this vision in one lifetime and did it. Praise the Lord. And I believe that it was of God. I don't think the fruit could tell you otherwise. But, you know, the fruit leads us to the fact that it was of God and that his hand is in it, the excellence and the beauty of it. But I was like, one man, one lifetime produced all of this because he got into the plan of God. And it just astounds me because sometimes we think, I mean, you can spend years. I don't know if you, man, we had a house. We got a house in Jamestown a bunch of years ago. And I had a 5-year plan. I told my wife we'd go up to 10 years, but in my heart, it was a 5-year plan. I wanted to be gone. Amen. And this house needed a lot of work, okay? But this house, it was 2 floors, but the first floor would have fit in this sanctuary and had room to walk around it. Amen. And so there's 2 floors just like that. And it needed a lot of work, but, you know, it wasn't really all that huge. I mean, it was, 1,300 square feet roughly or something like that. But the reason that I say this is that, you know, my 5-year plan turned into 6 years and turned into 7 years and turned into 8 years. And then finally I hired somebody to help me finish it. Amen. Or if I hired many people to help me finish it in that last span of time. And so by 10 years, I got it finished. Now that's one little house that would fit in this sanctuary. I'm talking about this man who created this campus. And see, what's the difference between him and I? The only difference was vision. Yeah. Amen. Now, there was things for me to learn along that way, and I wasn't saying I was out of the will of God, but what I'm saying is you can spend 10 years building a house, and if you do that or fixing up a house, you could do a few houses in a lifetime, and pretty soon you're going to get where you haven't done very much. Yeah. But you can create a lot when you follow the plan of God, because the plan of God will always lead you into a path that's passable. He will send the help. He'll send the right, the money. He will send the ability. But a lot, all of this has to do, as is found in this place of trust for him. Amen? Glory to God. So Luke 3:4. Glory to God. Okay, and this is about John the Baptist in context. But look what John's job was. It says, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough place the rough ways smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Amen. And so we see here that John's purpose, you know, his very existence was to straighten the path. And this is what we were talking about before in that preparation, preparing the way of the Lord, smoothing out that path, making it passable, making it probable. And so everybody who goes before, amen, is paving a path for other people. And those who come on that path are meant to pave more of a path. And so as we continue through this life, you see how it branches out and branches out, and how God's word and God's ability and God's life for people will spread. Amen. Glory to God. And it says, all flesh shall see the salvation of God because of the preparation that one man was doing. Amen. Now, we know if you read John the Baptist, if you read about John the Baptist, we knew he had opposition. You know, John the Baptist, I mean, it didn't end well with him. In his case, he was beheaded. You know, that he was in jail. We see all these things happen. And that doesn't mean that that's the path that God has for you. We don't have to believe that. I believe that God gives us ability in all those things. If, you know, if somebody is called to be a martyr, that somebody, they're given the ability to do so. I mean, if we look at Stephen, we see that. But if he just looked at his life as worthless, or if he just looked at the trial as being, you know, oh, this is just the way it goes, I don't know if I can trust God, well, surely all of God's people wouldn't have seen salvation. The salvation wasn't connected to Jesus Christ alone. And so now the work of salvation, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that the work of salvation is connected to what Christ did alone. But Christ couldn't have gotten to that place if there wasn't a path that was prepared for him. And so the same thing is with us. Jesus has instructed us to go into all the world. And our going into all the world is, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Praise the Lord. So we understand that if he's instructed us to do that, then he's instructed others to prepare a path. See, it's up to us to find out what that is. It's up to us to believe God and to trust God and to say, you know what? Even though I may be seeing hardship today, there's a plan and there is a purpose and there is a path that is being paved for me even as I speak. This is the wonderful thing we see about God, is that he sends people out ahead of time. Ahead of time. That means if he's called you to something, if all of a sudden you get divine revelation and you say, this is what I got to do. I got to go build this huge campus. And I don't know the first thing about building. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know the first thing about doing what God wants me to do. But he has given me this plan. The thing that you can know by scripture is that God has already prepared the ability for you to get there. It's already prepared. I go prepare a place for you, amen? That place will be prepared when you show up. You're not going to show up to heaven and Jesus is going to be, oh, light, can you wait just 5 more minutes? I got to have this crew come in and finish the drywall. It's not going to be like that. When we show up to heaven, it's going to be ready, amen? The paths that God has for us, the times. The Bible says that he has determined he's predetermined our times, that we would live on the earth. Glory to God, that we would exist here so that we would have the best chance at salvation and to find the blessing of the Lord in this land. But see, the disconnect is not on his end, and we have to understand this, and this is sometimes what people don't like to hear. People don't like to hear that the disconnect is not on God's end. They think that it's they don't like to realize that it's on their end. And the reason is because people don't want to ultimately be responsible for their own lives. They want to think that everything happens by some divinely orchestrated chance, and that if I walk into good things, well, it just must mean that God wanted me to have good things. And if I walk into bad things, then it just means that God must wanted me to have bad things. Well, see, that kind of thinking is fine if you live in America. That kind of thinking is fine if you don't care about getting anybody else saved. But when you go to somebody who's really suffering, when you go see people that are really in trial, and see, we all face trial somewhat, but in this country, we're not going to see even near the trial that some people see. And, you know, it's quite shameful to stand before a person and say, well, God just wanted you to have that. He just wanted me to have a little bit better. I'm sorry to say it, but why don't you come in and receive my Lord? See, this is the way a lot of people minister to people, and then wonder why they don't have much effect. Who on earth would want a God who looks at one person and says, you know what? Yeah, just calamity. Pain and suffering all the days of their life. I'm going to start this baby off with cancer. How many want to serve a God like that? Now, if you want to serve a God like that, you are in the wrong church. Praise the Lord. Because we don't serve that God. I don't want to serve that God. I'll just tell you right now, I despise a God that would put cancer on a newborn baby. Despise him. Despise him. I don't want to spend any time with that God. They said, wow, that's pretty bold, Pastor Jeff. Yeah, because I'm not talking about my God. My God's bigger than cancer. My God's bigger than death. Amen? Praise the Lord. I read that at the funeral this morning. I read that scripture in 1 Corinthians 15. And it says, death, where's your sting? Where's your victory, Hades? You have no victory here. The worst thing that the devil can throw at you still can't defeat heaven. So what is it to you? It's nothing. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't serve a God who causes pain and suffering on people just because he wants to have some kind of divine reason for doing it. It's a bunch of garbage. Glory to God. And I say this again. I mean, I have religious people that argue with me about this stuff or want to argue with me. I don't entertain arguments. Why don't I entertain those arguments? Because it's like you're arguing with an idiot. I'm just telling you the truth. We were with Reverend Greer this week. Praise the Lord. That's exactly what it is. Somebody wants to just insist on their own way and say that the God of the Bible is not the God that he is. They're an idiot. They're a moron. It's stupid. You don't do that. Amen? Why? Because God knows more than us. Now listen, I've been an idiot most of my life. Glory to God. But I'm an idiot naturally with the Spirit of God on the inside of me, which changes it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, that's free, no charge. Glory to God. Religious people that want to sit around and talk about how much God wants to hurt them. I mean, how much sense does that really make? Does it make any sense at all whatsoever? Would you look at a person and say, yeah, this is a person. I want to follow that path that you're in. It makes sense to me. Like, this is how probably half the body or more of the body of Christ looks at God. They look at God as the one who's causing all this pain and suffering in their lives, and they sit there and say, well, how can we talk to God about our good God? Your God ain't good because you ain't serving the right one. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. My God is a good God. Glory. Hallelujah. I said, my God is a good God. Amen. He's good all the time. Really is. He's good all the time. He is always looking for ways to bless me. God did not give me his son, he did not give me the word, and he did not give me his Holy Spirit because he didn't want me blessed. He gave me all the blessing I could possibly ever want in one package and says, here you go, have it freely, you don't need to do anything for it, just take it. Just decide you want it. That is literally what receiving salvation is. It is just looking at God and saying, I'll receive everything you've given me. I didn't do anything to get it, didn't do anything worthy of receiving it. I'm just accepting it because you love me so much you gave it to me. You don't think that it doesn't spit in the face of God when his people are sitting there, Lord, I know that you've given me this trial, this mountain that's so big that I can't climb. I know that you've given me this trial. You don't think that's spitting in the face of Jesus? Of course it is. And I'm not going to apologize for being one of those religious wackos that doesn't believe that garbage. I'm not going to apologize for standing up here and preaching what the Bible actually says and not trying to make up what I think I want it to say because only that way will it match up with my circumstances. I don't do that. I won't do that. And I don't care if you want to do it. I don't care if someone else wants to do it. Praise the Lord. Excuse me while I get bold here for a second. I don't care. I don't care if my church doesn't grow to the size of what some massive churches could be because of that. Now, I'm not saying that that will be the way it is. The church will be what God wants it to be, and I believe that it'll be that way right on time, and I'm going to do my best to be in that plan to make sure that I see it that way, glory to God. But I do know that I have a part to play, and you have to know that you have a part to play. So here's the thing, if you don't like your life right now, praise the Lord, then you need to do something different. You need to look at God differently. You need to decide, wait a minute, if I don't like my life the way that it is, then I'm going to need to do something to change it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Turn me to Psalm 91. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I love the Word of God. And I don't know about you, but even if I ain't helping you, I am set free tonight. Now, I know I'm helping you, but I'm just saying, you know, I'm just saying that even if somebody else doesn't want to receive what I'm saying, I certainly am. Amen. And I'll tell you what, if I was preaching to myself tonight and nobody else, it certainly is helping me, so I'm glad I showed up. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. See, so many times humans put so much emphasis on the wrong things. Psalm 97, 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What? Psalm 91:1. Yeah. Praise the Lord. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. He who dwells. Now listen, that word he is capitalized in my Bible, but only because it is at the beginning of the sentence. Yeah, right. That is not, that he is not God. Amen. Right. Actually, in my Bible, I got a big H, which makes it, but it says he who, or she who dwells. Amen. Yeah. They who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Yeah. So we understand, see, we see scriptures like this, and I can't understand why Christians will still have the disconnect of how they don't think that it's up to them. It didn't say he who is allowed to dwell, he who God lets in, he who God decides can come into the house. It says he who dwells. That means he who has decided to dwell, amen, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Now listen. Trusting is not saying, God, I know that you've given me this pain and suffering for some specific reason, so I'm just going to accept it and be good with it. That's not what trusting in God is. Trusting is God is reading the Word of God and saying, hey, this Word says something I ain't seeing, but God, I trust you because you wrote it down. Now listen, you can get so bold to go before God and look and find something and say, man, that's really good, God. I don't see this in my life. I'm just going to put this before you because I didn't write the scripture, but you did. You gave me the scripture so I could look at the scripture and see what you wanted for my life. And I'm not seeing this in my life. Now, I'm willing to say that the reason I'm not seeing this in my life is because of something I might be doing. But if it's something I'm doing, I'm not aware of what it is. So I'm going to trust you that you will show me what it is that I'm doing wrong so I can get there if there's anything at all. And if that's not the case, then I expect this shows up in my life. That's what coming boldly to the throne is. It's looking at the Word of God and saying, I am going to be bold enough to say, Lord, you don't lie. I'm going to be bold enough to say that, Lord, even though I'm standing in somebody who's full of sickness and disease, that I'm going to be bold enough to stand in front of them and say, Lord, my God always heals. Always heals. Because that's who he is. He's healer. I'm going to be bold to look at somebody who's poor and you're looking at them and saying, you've got to tithe. And they're saying, Pastor, I can't afford to tithe. And you're sitting there saying, yes, but you may not see it in the natural right now, but you have to trust God. You have to look beyond and do his word because only then will you see the blessing that God has for you. And you will see it. You will see it. Sometimes it comes over time. It doesn't mean that you're going to put money in the bucket and then all of a sudden, oh, praise the Lord, you're paying off everybody's house. There's a step. There's a plan. There's a path, and the path is passable if you'll walk down it, but you've got to walk down it. Amen? Praise the Lord. I want to skip on down there to verse 9. Praise the Lord. No, I got lots of writing here in my Bible. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I wrote this. I want to just share this with you. I wrote this in there. I thought it was probably pretty good. The Lord inspired me here. If all your hope is in what man builds, then in what man builds is all your hope. If all your hope is in what man builds, then what man has built is where all your hope is. That's all that it'll be. You will have nothing more than that. If you want God, you cannot put your hope and you cannot put your trust in what man does. You have to put it in God. You have to put it in something bigger. Even if that man that's building that you're looking at is yourself. Praise the Lord. Verse 9, because I circled because, and I underlined you have made. So when I'm reading this, I'm reading because I have decided, because I have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, my dwelling place, okay, because of this, right? Praise the Lord. Now look at the next few verses. No evil shall befall me. Nor shall any plague come near my dwelling. Because why? Because I have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High God, my dwelling place. What does it mean to make him your dwelling place? It means to abide in his word and let his word abide in you. It means to become his disciple and learn from him. Do what Jesus said, not what the preacher said. Do what Jesus said, not what your religion said. Do what Jesus said, not what you thought Jesus thought maybe you should do. Do what Jesus said. Praise the Lord. There is no interpretation of Scripture, just so you know. I'm going to go on this route. I'll probably run on this forever. It's knowing what is said or what is not said. That's all there is to it. It is not, I interpret it this way. Whenever you start saying, I told my wife not too long ago, I said, we got to stop saying I think. We're going to stop saying that. We're not saying I think about Scripture anymore. Why? Because what I think about Scripture don't matter. I don't need to know. You don't need to know what I think about Scripture. You don't want to know what I think about Scripture. You just need to know what God thinks about Scripture. What does God think? What he wrote? Praise the Lord. It's not hard. It's what he wrote. When it says that if I make the Lord my dwelling place, then I have to get solidified in me as an absolute fact that no matter what I see, no evil shall befall me. It'll come near me. It may try knocking on my door, but it's not going to fall all over me. It's not coming in and camping out on my couch. It just ain't going to do it. No evil shall befall me, nor any plague shall come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. He keeps me in all my ways. Praise the Lord. You know, my wife and I, we went on this trip, the ministry trip this week, go down to see Reverend Greer and be in his meetings. And as we were going, there was a lot of opposition this week. There was a lot of opposition. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you the truth. First, somebody dies. Somebody very, very faithful in my congregation passes away. And so that's an opposition. Of course, all the things that come along with that. Then there's sickness that had been knocking on our door, trying to get us and take us out. And then you have the flights. The weather came in, the storm right at the last minute, and kept the plane from taking off at the right time. And so when we landed, guess what we missed? The next plane we were supposed to get. And so we just pushed things back and pushed things. And I just said, we were done. I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's not going to keep us from the blessing. All the Bible says that all I do prospers. Yes. And so no matter how it looks, my life prospers. Hallelujah. And guess what? Our life did. Yeah. Our life prospers. Listen, it doesn't mean that we've seen the fullness of it or we even, there's more for us to see. But I just know this, that all I do prospers. And if you don't believe me, go read the beginning of Psalm 1, chapter 1, verse 6 or somewhere around there. Says that all he shall do shall prosper. And so what do I take that to mean? How do I interpret that scripture? What do I think about that? Well, I think just what it's written. All I do prospers. I'm just stupid enough to believe it. I'm just crazy enough. I'm just nutso enough to believe God at his word. That when God said to me that all you shall do will prosper, I don't sit there and try to find reasons why it doesn't. Have you ever noticed that people will do that? They will try to find reasons why it doesn't work. No, the Bible says I'm healed. I'm healed. I don't care what it looks like. You can call me crazy if you want, but that's the way that it is. Well, praise God. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread on the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. That's the attack of the enemy. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. My love is set on God. What does Jesus say about love? Well, he tells us that love rejoices in the truth. Oh, my God. Let me tell you, I'm just about to help you here. Praise the Lord. He says that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that love rejoices in the truth. If you are a believer, or if you call yourself a believer, and you are speaking things that aren't truth, you are not rejoicing in the truth, you are not setting your love on God, and you wonder why destruction is coming into your home. You wonder why destruction is coming into your life. You have not set your love on Him, because love rejoices in the truth, not lies. It doesn't call the lies of the devil God's truth. But that's what Christians want to do so often. Now listen, I'm not trying to come down on Christians, but we have to be a different church. We have to be a different kind of church. We have to know that all we do prospers because God is paving a path for us. Jesus has gone before us, and He has paved a way for us to go. He's removed the ruts. He's removed the stones. We have to be willing to walk down it. Sometimes you're going to walk down that path alone. Sometimes you're going to walk down that path and everybody else is going to say, don't go that way. Don't go down that path. But you're like, I trust in God. My heart, I set my love on God. And therefore, I'm set free, praise the Lord. I'm delivered, praise the Lord, because I have set my love on Him. I will set Him on high because He has known my name. Listen, to know someone's, when God talks about knowing His name, does that mean, oh, we got to call God this, we got to call Him Jehovah, blah, blah, blah. No, that's not what it's talking about. That is not what He's saying. To know your name. There's lots of people that claim to know the name of God and evoke it as they're like, this is what we call God because this is His name and this is all we can say, but they know nothing about God. Listen, to know God, to know His name, means you know the benefits, you know the essence of who that is, and that's what He's talking about. When you know the name, you know the authority that comes with the name. Praise the Lord. When you know the authority, you don't sit there and pray for things that you need to take care of. What do I mean by that? I mean that when something comes against you, everybody goes to God. God, why is this happening? Take this away, take this away. When God said, I've given you the authority to trample over scorpions and demons. So you look at Him and you say, you move. You move. No, like, see, this is the thing. God has given us the authority. And so we have to take control of our lives. We have to look at the attack of the enemy when we recognize it's an attack and just say, listen, devil, you can't stay here. I know you're trying and you're trying real hard, but it's not good enough. Because I serve a greater God. I serve someone who's bigger. So you got to move. And then you stand there. And when it doesn't move, you say, no, you don't understand. You have to move. Because the word says you have to move. And I've been given authority. But until people know the name of the Lord, until they know their authority, they're not going to know what they can do. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Like, oh God, take this away from me. And then when it doesn't go, they sit there and say, God must want me to have it. And they lay there crying and sorrowful because God wants them to have this pain. And the whole time God's like, I gave you the authority and the power to move the mountain. And you're sitting there wallowing in it. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Doesn't say I might. He said, I will. Who? The one who set his love upon him, that knows his name. Oh boy, we're about to read a scripture. We're really going to get some religious nuts crazy. Hallelujah. With a long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Praise the Lord. Show him my salvation. Again, salvation isn't for when you die. Salvation, you don't need salvation once you're dead. You've already got it, if you've gotten it, right? Salvation, you've already saved. There's no trial in heaven. You don't need, listen, folks, you don't need saved from something that isn't there. If there's no monster under the bed, you ain't got to be afraid of what's under the bed. When you're in heaven, there's no monsters under the bed. They're gone. There's no opposition. We don't need, I'm going to give you some, this is going to help you, it's helping me. Praise the Lord. You don't need saved when you're in heaven. So a lot of people are looking to heaven for salvation. Salvation is for right now. It's for today. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Praise the Lord, not in the sweet by and by. Then you're already saved. It's just a thing. Salvation is to bring us to that place. That salvation is the cleared path. Salvation is the preparation that goes before us. Hallelujah. I just encourage you to know this. I didn't know I was going to say any of this tonight, praise the Lord, but I'm sure glad I am. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. If the things in your life are off, and you would be honest with yourself, you would find that you're probably off in this area. If something's not right in your life, and you would be honest with yourself. Listen, I get honest with myself all the time. Sometimes I need to be more honest with myself. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will nudge me and say, you got to look a little bit deeper at that, buddy. Yeah, because you're saying it, but you're not believing it. You're saying it, but you're not doing it. You say you want this, but you sure don't act like it. And see, if you'll be honest with yourself, you can look at your life and you can say, you know what? I missed it in this area. Now, condemnation is of the devil. We don't sit there and condemn, oh, I missed it. Terrible, terrible, terrible. I missed it lots in this past year. In this last week, probably missed it a ton. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. I came to church tonight. I didn't miss it tonight. Praise the Lord. Relied on the Lord for this message. I didn't miss it tonight. Glory to God. You know what I'm saying? Like, we'll have victories. Well, we may have moments where we don't quite do what we should do. But if we'll be honest with ourselves, we won't try to cover that up and say, oh, well, you know, and that's the thing about me as a preacher. I'm not a preacher that sits here before you and tries to say, oh, I'm perfect. I got it all figured out. And you just do exactly what I do and you're fine and everything I say is right. I don't believe that. I do believe the Word of God is right. I do believe the Holy Spirit is what God has given to lead us. And I believe that if you're connected to this church, that the abundance of stuff that you get here will not be bad for your life. It will help you. Right. Praise the Lord. But that's why you got to know where you're connected. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I don't even want to end this message, but I got one more scripture. I'm going to end on this. It's just in the Amplified. Acts 3:19 in the Amplified. Look at this. So repent. What does repent mean? It means to change your mind and purpose. Amen. Turn around and return to God that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, that times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air may come from the presence of the Lord. All we have to do is change our mind. Listen, I was off. I had it wrong. You ain't got to make some kind of public announcement about it. Seems like the Lord has me do it a lot, but you ain't going to make a public announcement about it. If you missed it, just say, you know what, I missed it. If you missed it with somebody, just go to them and say, hey, listen, I missed it, I'm sorry. It is not hard. It is so much easier to live in the refreshing on a paved path than to be stumbling through the woods, not knowing where you're going, with rocks and boulders and twigs and sticks and prickers and thorns and all these other things. Let's not do that. Praise the Lord. You know, some of us crazy people, we do that if we want to do that, go out and experience nature a little bit. But you know what I'm talking about, walking through life? Let's not do it hard. Let's get into God's light and easy and decide to get there. Praise the Lord, knowing that that's what he has for us. Amen? Well, praise the Lord.